right, we're going to find our place again in Exodus chapter 1 tonight, Exodus chapter 1. This is our new Old Testament book that we've just begun our journey with. We've preached through Genesis. We're moving right into Exodus. I'm giving you part 2 to a message that I gave on Sunday, and we're asking the Lord to speak to us tonight. Brother Bob wants me to remind you to pray for the Gospel Day this Friday at Daniel Boone. This is during all the lunch hours there. He has a couple, two or three of these a year, two, three, four, or something like that, where the church gets pizza and all of that, and that pizza brings others, and then he preaches the gospel, and we're praying for him as he gives the gospel in clear terms on Friday. Exodus chapter 1, this is part 2 to a message that we get our title in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt." If you weren't here when I began this series, that's the title of the message, A New King Over Egypt. This is part number 2. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from the Word of God. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come to this opening chapter in the book of Exodus, it's very important that you keep in mind that it's been hundreds of years. It's been around, it's been basically over 400 years, between 400 and 430 years or so, that have passed since Joseph moved his family into the land of Egypt. Now, the opening verses give a list of those who came into the land of Egypt from the Israelites. And as you read, basically in the book of Genesis, the latter part of it, we know that God had blessed the Israelites under the hand of Joseph. However, verse 6 tells us that Joseph died, and all of his brethren and all that generation. Now, after Joseph passed away, verse 7 tells us that the Israelites were fruitful, they increased abundantly, they multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, in this, we see how God had kept his promise just as he always does. Because in Genesis 46, verse number 3, he said that he was going to bless them. He said he's going to make the Israelites in Egypt a mighty nation, and that's exactly what he did. But in verse number 8, this is where we got our title. We've already given you two of the three points. I'm going to give you the third point tonight. But we got our title from this phrase, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt." Now, it's this thought that I want us to dwell on. And there's three things about that concerns this king that I want us to look at. Now, I encourage you, if you were not here Sunday night, to go back and get the message, because I'm just going to pinpoint, just tap it on the head, versus points number 1 and points number 2. The first thing that we looked at together concerning a new king over Egypt, first of all, we noticed the problem of the king. If you remember the story in verses 8 through 10, really all the way down through the end of the chapter, we see that this new king does not like the Israelites. He's putting them through hard bondage. He's trying to stop their growth, all these kind of things. But in verse number 8, we see that his real problem was he did not know Joseph. Second thing we looked at, I've already preached on this, you can go back and get it. Not only the problem of the king, but number 2, the persecution by the king. And we saw that because he didn't know Joseph, he looked at the Israelites in a wrong way. Now tonight we're going to go to the third and final point. And that is, we see the principle concerning the king. Now look at verse number 15 and let's read down through verse number 21. "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? The midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, not because they lied in verse 19, folks, okay? These midwives lied in verse number 19. God doesn't need our lies to promote the truth. But he's honoring them because they feared him above this man. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, verse 20. The people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now, we've noticed the problem with the king. He didn't know Joseph. The persecution by the king came because he didn't know Joseph, and he was trying to suppress their growth. He didn't want them to grow. Number three, let's look at the principle concerning the king. Now, here's what I mean by this. The severe affliction upon the Israelites was not enough for the king. I mean, those who are alive in basically all the way through this chapter, beginning with verse number 9, he has them in severe affliction, severe bondage. He's trying to make their lives miserable, but he did not stop there. What he did is he spoke to the Hebrew midwives and he told them, now this is the king, this is the one who could have their head, if you will. This is the one who's the leader of the nation at this time. To understand what it would be like in our country, it'd be like the president of the United States, okay? That's who the king is. His word is it. Now, this being the case, he tells the midwives, he says, here's what I want you to do. When these ladies who are expecting a baby, when they're on the stool and you help them give birth, if it is a female child, let her live. If it's a male child, I want you to kill it. Don't let it live. Now get this. The Bible tells us, but the midwives feared God. Somebody say amen right there. Now here's what I'm saying to you. They refused to do as the king told them to. Now even though the midwives lied to the king about what happened, something the Lord did not approve of. He never approves of lying. He did not need them lying. But the Lord was gracious to them and still blessed them because they feared him above the king. Now in this, I'm going to apply this in just a moment, but in this, we see these midwives feared God above the king and above his commandment. They were willing to stand alone. See, the principle here is the king, right here, I'm talking about the principle concerning the king, is we are to fear God and obey him more than we fear man and obey him. Even if it means putting our lives on the line. And even if it's the king giving the command. The midwives were willing to go against the king all because they feared God. Now, this being the case, let me apply this to our life, okay? The principle concerning the king is we are to live in subjection to the king as long as he doesn't try to play God. But if the king tries to play God, we're to fear God above him. We're to obey God rather than man and tell him we don't care what he thinks about it. Amen. Now don't you tell me that we're not living in a country I'm talking about quickly the ball is seemingly to roll this way. I'm talking about where the government tries to legalize homosexuality and the government tries to make us out to be the enemy and the government tries to do this and the government tries to do that. Wait a minute, we're to stand allegiance to the God of heaven and whatever God tells us to do, that's what we're to do first and foremost. This being the case, let me apply this. I've said that two or three times. Let me try to do it now. Number one, here, what can we learn from these midwives? That they had a command from the king, yet they feared God and said no. Let me apply it right here. Number one, fear God, not man. Fear God, not man. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, listen to these verses. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Listen to this. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. One person put it this way: learn a life lesson from the monument to a certain man in Westminster Abbey. Of all the memorials there, it says you will not find one that gives a nobler thought. Simply his name and the date of his death and these words, and I quote, "He feared man so little because he feared God so much." What a statement. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. Here is one secret to victory. Walk ever in the fear of God. Set God ever before you. Let your prayer be that of this one boy who found locked up in his desk after his death. In other words, this one boy who's now dead, they went to a desk that he had and found a note that he had written locked up. And here's what it read, and I quote, "Oh God, give me courage that I may fear none but thee." You know what we need? You know what I need? I need such a holy fear of God that it makes no difference what man says about it. And it makes no difference. Now, I know it's easy to say these things because I don't have a gun to my head. I don't have a machete to my throat. I don't have somebody breathing down my neck saying they're going to kill me. But it doesn't change the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is this. We are not to fear man. That the only thing, the worst thing they can do is kill us. That's what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying right here in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, don't fear a man who is so limited that all he can do is take your life, but that's it. Rather, fear him who can take your life and do something else as well. What am I saying? I'm saying we need a steady dose of the fear of God, friends. We really do. Number one, we're applying this, fear God, not man. Number two, we're applying it, obey God rather than man. Acts 5:29 says this, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Now, some people abuse that. What I mean by that is they try to make God say something that he really didn't say. Well, I'm not going to say yes to him. I'm not going to say yes to her. I don't care if they're in authority to me because the Bible says I don't have to. Wait a minute. It is only if they try to get you to do something that is directly opposed to the will of God. Did you hear what I just said? Now, this being the case, let us learn this principle that we are to fear God, not man, and when you fear God, not man, you will obey God rather than man. See, even if the man is in the place of authority, just like the king of Egypt, even if they're in a place of authority, we are to fear God, not him. When someone in authority tells you to do something that is against the will of God, I mean, you know that he's asking or telling you to do something that the Word of God tells you not to do. If God says do this, and somebody in authority says do this instead, you are to say, excuse me, you're not my highest authority. My highest authority is God Almighty, and if God tells me to go right and you tell me to go left, I'm going right 100% of the time. You with me what I'm saying here? This is what we learn from these midwives, that when they try to get you to go against God, even if they're in authority, we are to stand in the fear of God and obey His authority over any person upon planet Earth. Now, I hope that I'm wrong. But we all may come to this kind of decision in this country. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about there are issues in our day where, excuse me, the liberals are trying to put it down our throats. There are issues today where they're trying to make us submit and say it's okay when God says it's not okay. Now, you know what I'm talking about here. This being the case, what are we going to do? May I say this to you? If it comes out that Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if the preacher gets up and speaks out against homosexuality, that we're going to lose our tax exempt, friends, we'll just pay an extra couple of dollars at Sam's and everywhere else if we have to. May I say this to you? I hope it never comes to this. But there may come a day when it's so illegal to say anything that they'll throw you into prison if you do. God, help me to have the backbone at that moment that I need to have. I am not going to stand up and say, don't worry about me. I don't trust me. But I believe I do know my heart. And if I know one thing, if my heart is fearing God at that moment, nobody's going to tell me what to preach and what not to preach. Amen, friends. This is not unloving. This is true Bible love, friends. You stand for what God stands for. No matter who tells you otherwise, obey God rather than man. Ecclesiastes 12:13, listen to this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Number one, we're just applying this principle concerning the king that when the king tries to play God, you're to fear God above him and obey God and leave the consequences to Jesus. You apply that by fear God, not man. Obey God, not man. Number three, make choices in the fear of God. What does this mean? The Bible says in our text in verse number 17 that they did not as the king of Egypt commanded. Why did they choose not to do it? Because they feared God. In other words, the fear of God is what caused them to choose the right thing. Now, what does this mean? First Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he had done for you. Now get this. When we look around our nation today, and when you look around the world today, it doesn't take long to see that there is no fear of God. Matter of fact, I want you to hold your place here in Exodus, but turn with me to Romans chapter number, chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Romans chapter number 3. Here's what I'm saying. Do you realize that every decision that we make is either because we fear God or we don't? Now, I want you to think about that statement. Every decision we make, we are either saying, I fear you or I don't. And all you have to do is look at your life and look at the decisions that you're making. Look at the choices that you're currently making in your life and ask yourself this question. When I make this decision, is this proving I really fear God? Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. Look at it. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. In other words, their language. In other words, it's just like death coming out of their mouth. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It is decay. It is rot. It is death that comes out of their mouth. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. We just read about this this week, USA Today. I get this on my phone, you know, these alerts and so on. And I got this alert where three teenage boys got bored. And they shot an innocent man just jogging down the street just for the fun of it. One of them, they say, thinks it's just a big joke. They killed this man. He was a visiting athlete from another country, jogging up the street, and these three teenage boys driving around, and they're bored out of their mind, so they take out a .22 caliber gun and shoot this man in the back, and they say it's all a big joke. That happened this week. Their feet are swift to shed blood. It's happening today, friends. By the way, couldn't that be abortion too? Amen. Look at verse 16. Destruction and misery in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. Now let me ask you, what's the problem? Verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You may tell you why they talk death. You may tell you why there's poison of asp under their tongue. You may tell you why their feet are swift to shed blood. You may tell you why I'm talking about our world and our country's in a mess. No fear of God. What we learn from these midwives is that the fear of God helps us make right decisions. It helps us to do the right things. Now again, I want you to look at your own choices. I'm not coming into your home. I'm not coming into your life personally and asking you, what are you doing? It's none of my business. None of my business. But I want you to think right now, what kind of decisions are you making? What choices are you making? And put those choices up against this fact. Do these choices that I'm making prove that I really do fear God? Now get this. One man put it this way. Those who fear God will adjust their conduct to please Him regardless of whether or not it pleases man. Oh, that's a great statement right there. The fear of God always produces good conduct. Take our life. We're all sinners, friends. Every one of us. Nobody in here is perfect. But let's just put it down where the rubber meets the road. Every time we go against God's will, at that given moment, we did not fear God. Let's not point our fingers at anybody. Let's look at ourselves. Today, because I'm a sinner, sometime during this day, whether it be a thought I had, whether it be a word I said, something, whatever, every time I go against Scripture, I'm telling God, I'm not fearful of you. And that's a dangerous way to live life. It really is. You know what's been said, and I quote, if the fear of a man or the fear of a child will restrain us and make us attempt to be holy and pure, how should the fear of the all-present and all-seeing God keep us, not only from outward sins, but from polluted thoughts and unholy desires? Here's what that statement's saying. There are folks, I trust nobody here, I hope nobody here, but there are folks around this country and around the world who do things that if their children walked in the room, they would never do it. Or if their boss walked in, they would not be found doing it. Vice versa. There are teenagers, there are children who do things in their rooms, do things in the schoolhouse, say things out in public that if they knew their mom and daddy was listening to them, it would never come out their mouth. Here's the point. If a fear of a man or a child would affect our life like that, how much more should the fear of God, who knows everything about us, who hears every word we say? See, friends, listen to me. We all need a good dose of the fear of God. Every one of us need it. I need it. You need it. I'm not saying that you need it because you're just a wicked rebel. I didn't say that. But I know that all of us have a fallen sin nature, and our flesh wants to snub its nose in the face of an all-knowing God. And God is worthy to be feared. Matter of fact, if you don't fear Him, you're going to have problems. You know, in this book, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but in this book is the 10 plagues. I mean, as a matter of fact, when you think about Pharaoh, and we're going to study this together, but when you think about Pharaoh, I mean the frogs and the lice and all these kind of things, you would think it'd start registering with him. I mean, wouldn't you think that after so many plagues, it would dawn on him, you know, I need to let these people go. I mean, excuse me, but he didn't have much upstairs. He's crazy. There's 10 plagues, get this. After seven of them, the Word of God speaks. And in this book, in Exodus chapter 9, verse 30, here's what it says. But as for thee and thy servants, this is God speaking to Pharaoh. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. Let me tell you why after the first plague he didn't give in. Because he didn't fear God. You mean to tell you why I didn't give in after the second and third and fourth and fifth, sixth and seventh and eighth and even ninth? Because he didn't fear God. And his lack of fear of God affected his choices he made. God help a child of God who says, I'm born again, but God's not going to tell me what to do. Can I say this to you? He is going to tell you what to do, whether you listen or not. We're looking at this together. How do we apply this principle that even when the king, I'm talking about the highest in authority, is trying to breathe down your neck, do this, but you know it's against God at that moment. The principle is we're to obey God and fear God above man. We're applying that. Fear God, not man. Obey God rather than man. Make choices in the fear of God. The Bible says in Psalm 36:1, listen to this, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before his eyes. In other words, you look at the wickedness. And that verse says the transgression of the wicked. In other words, all the evil things that the wicked are doing says one thing. There's no fear of God in his eyes. But yet, Proverbs 16:6 says this. Listen to this. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. In other words, they know something's wrong. They're going to get away from it. Why? Because they fear God. They fear the Lord. Now, let me give you the final thing here. This is the final way that we're applying this principle concerning the king. Fear God, not man. Obey God over man. I'm talking about choices should be affected and made in the fear of God. Number four, God blesses those that fear him. He really does. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in verse number 21, it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. According to my study, what that means is he gave them families. You feared me and you saved families. So I'm going to give you some of your own. That's what he did. You saved these families. You made sure that they stayed together. So I'm going to give you something you don't have. I'm going to give you a family of your own. You know what this tells me? This tells me that those who fear God and obey God, listen, he will never be a debtor to one of his children. Never. Never. Because these midwives fear God and refuse to kill the male children, God blessed them in a wonderful way. One man put it this way, and I quote, "They who serve God serve a good master. No honest man or woman can do a work for God without receiving a great reward." Let me give you some verses and try to pick this out, how God blesses those that fear him. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, listen to this. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The word honor there, I didn't look it up, I should have, but if I know what that word means, it means to uplift, to salute. Yes, sir. The Bible says that if we honor God, he honors us. You know what I want? I want the salute of God on my life. That's what I want. I'll guarantee you one thing. I want God like this to me, with a smile. Not like this. Hey, can I say something to you? If God has an angry look on his face at you, you got problems. I don't want God as an enemy. I want God to be pleased with me. I believe you do too. I don't think you'd be here on Wednesday night. Hey, you come on Sunday and listen on Sunday. You're not going to put yourself through another drudgery on Wednesday night unless you've got a little bit of fear of God in your life. I think you want God's blessing. How do you get it? Fear him. Stand in awe of him. And say, God, I don't care who tells me what to do. If you tell me to do this, I don't care what he says. I'm doing what you want me to do because I've got a date with you someday and I'm going to stand in the fear of God. Let's read on. Psalm 34:9. Just talk about how God blesses those that fear him. Listen to this. Oh, fear the Lord, all ye his saints. Get this. For there is no want to them that fear him. Can I say this? I don't know what all that means, but it sounds pretty good. It says this, only fear the Lord, for there's no want for those that fear him. Which means if you truly fear him, you're satisfied. You're not looking for anything else. You won't want anything else. When you see God for who he is, he's all you want. Amen, friends. Let's read on. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, comma, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. The Bible, now again, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, and that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. There again, I don't even know what all that means. But I know this. The Bible says that if you want to have something for your good, fear God. Fear the Lord, because it's for our good always. And he may preserve you because of it. What's that mean? That means if you fear him, he may just keep protecting you, keep you on this earth a little bit longer, and he may let you live a little bit longer if you fear him. Now what's that mean? Does that mean somebody who died in their 20s didn't fear God? No. No. That's in God's hands. Because he's not making any promises here. He's just saying, and he may do this. Let's read on. Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. What does the word bless mean? I don't know what that means. But can I say something to you? I don't care what it means. All I know is this. I want God blessing my life. I want the blessing of the Lord. And the Bible says he blesses them that fear the Lord. Let's read on. Two more and I'm done. Proverbs 14, 26 through 20. I'm talking about done with the verses, not done with the message, okay? Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. Get this. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Get this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 22, 4 says this. By humility and the fear of the Lord, humility and the fear of the Lord, by these two things are riches, honor, and life. I think the Word of God's telling us something, friends. The point here is this. Under this third major point, the principle concerning the king, the point here is let us resolve to fear no one but God. And therefore make choices that are pleasing in his sight. Even if the king is the one giving the orders to do otherwise. We do not like to think about it. But as I've said, this could come to fruition in this country before the Lord comes back. Where what I'm talking about, it's possible, because it's possible in any country. It is possible that God's people will have to make a choice. Will we live in the fear of man and disobey God? Or will we live in the fear of God and disobey man? Which one is it for you? By the way, what a powerful statement this is. John Butler said it this way, and I like this. He said, no government that promotes evil by the law has a good future. No government that promotes evil by the law has a good future. You show me a government who's trying to change the laws and everything else, and it is all against Scripture, against Scripture, against Scripture, against Scripture, against God, against God, and they're trying to make it laws of the land. That government won't last too long, friends. It may last long in humans' eyes, but not in God's. I'm going to tell you something. God is on the throne, and he's not going to let any human being usurp his authority, friends. I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's the leader of a church trying to do his own thing instead of going God's way. I don't care if it's a leader of an organization, if it's a leader of a business, if it's a leader of a country. God will not get off of his throne. He's not going to do it. And he will not step back and say, go ahead. That is his throne and his throne alone. And we need to get on our faces. You know, talk is cheap. It really is. Every one of us, I believe, would stand to our feet and say, if it comes to that in this country, I'll be the first one to stand to my feet and speak like a trumpet and let everybody know I'm on Jesus' side. Watch out, friends. You don't know what your flesh would do. You don't know. But I know this. If we stay in the Word of God, on our faces before God, and God really means to us what he needs to mean to us, and we truly live in the fear of God, we do know what our answer will be when the time comes. It's not going to be, I'm going to do this. It's by the grace of God, we will do this. And at that moment, let us look to Jesus. By the way, I'm coming to a close here, but there are precious men, women, boys, and girls, God's children around the world today who are literally living what I'm preaching. Literally living what I'm preaching. Over in Egypt, where all this chaos is going on, I got something sent to my phone today and talking about how hard we really have it here in America. And what it shows is it shows a church that's been burned out. I mean, it's just burned. And there are believers, somebody took a picture of it, there are believers standing in the charcoal, whatever ruins of that church building, standing there worshiping God. I'm talking about that happened this week. I just got it today. It was today or yesterday. So we don't think that way. And we complain because the air is too cold. Or it's too hot. Or one of the padded pews is coming apart right here. Nothing wrong with having air where it needs to be, and I'm not belittling any of that. But what I'm saying to friends, where are we in America? Let us resolve to be like the midwives. Whatever the king says, my answer is yes, as long as it lines up with God. But the moment he tries to play God, my allegiance is to my Savior. That's the principle concerning the king. You got it? I believe this is very applicable to the day in which we live. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this. I do pray that you'll help us to learn this principle. Help us to see the importance of it. Help us to understand this, that, Lord, we are to live in subjection to our authority, even our government, as long as they do not try to play God. Help us, Lord, to understand that even times when they do try to play God, that we are to stand in fear of God and God alone. And our choices are to be made according to that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I know this is more of a teaching sermon. I know it's more of a pastoral message where it's, you know, this is something that you just need to keep in mind, in other words. But you know, it could be that God's speaking to you tonight. It could be that you're not living in the fear of God. By the way, if somebody's here tonight that's never trusted Christ, you know what their problem really is? Their problem is they don't fear God. Because, see, God is the one that's going to judge them. God's the one that's going to condemn them if they don't turn to Christ. So if there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ, maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about, we'd love to talk to you about it. If there's somebody here tonight, say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. You come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe, you know, tonight, somebody may be in a situation at work where your boss is trying to play God in your life. And maybe you've been afraid that, you know, if you take a stand, you're going to lose your job. By the way, if that's the case here, I have no idea who you are. But it could be that there's a boss who's trying to breathe down your neck and try to get you to do things that you know is against God, but you know your job's on the line. Let me say this to you. I'd rather lose my job and keep my integrity than keep my job and go against God. See, God can bless people like that. And we need to understand, Lord, help us to be faithful. So tonight, I want to ask you a question. Look at your own life. Look at your decisions that you're making. Look at the choices that you're making. The different kind of choices. Where you go. How you dress. What you listen to. How you speak. What you think about. What you watch at home. Just the choices that you make. Your everyday choices. Do your choices prove that you fear God or you don't? It's one or the other. We need a steady dose of the fear of God. Living under His authority. Come what may, our answer should be yes to the will of God. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. There's no singing. But if God's dealing with you tonight, would you leave your place and come? If you'd like to learn more about the gospel message, come. Let us take a Bible. We'll share with you Jesus Christ. If you're not sure, then come on. Whatever it is, give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to the Lord. The Lord can help you with it. This way. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. God bless you. I salute you for being here. I really, really do. God bless you for coming. Hope he doesn't mind me doing this. I've not asked him to do this, but I'm going to ask Micah Johnson if you would mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, sir.